Well, earlier this month, June 7th, in fact, Australia celebrated and acknowledged the work of our some 300,000 first responders through Thank a First Responder Day. And the invaluable work of these people unfortunately came to the surface again with the tragic Hunter Valley bus crash. So how do these workers deal with the situations they confront every day? To give us some idea, I'm joined by Dr. Sonia Maria, who's a senior lecturer in paramedicine in the Charles Sturt School of Nursing, Paramedicine and Healthcare Sciences. Good afternoon, Sonia. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. To provide some context for this conversation, when we hear the term first responders, who and what are we talking about?
Okay, so it's a very broad term and it encompasses lots of different agencies that actually are first responders. So it might be your rural fire brigade, it might be the SES, it could be St John Volunteers medics that are off duty, and it even might be ambulance service employees who are volunteers as well. We call all of them first responders.
And what's their primary duty as a first responder?
To respond first.
What a silly question, Brett.
Well, it depends on what role they take up in their organisation. So, for instance, you know, Mary, who works down at the local bakery, might go to her SES meetings every week, and her job could be that week, could be responding to any weather-related emergencies, for example. Or it could be Bob, who works for St John, who's at an event, and he might be doing a duty at the local motocross.
So it's really up to them to bring their skill set to that scenario as the first person there. I mean, I guess there probably must be standard practice for first responders.
They're all actually really well trained. So first responders do a lot of training for their roles, which is something that I don't think a lot of people realise, that, you know, if you volunteer for St John or SES, there's actually regular training that happens, you know, all the time to make sure that their skills are up to date and that they're able to cope with, you know, being the first on scene at things that, like we saw at the Hunter Valley bus crash.
Mm. So where do paramedics fit into the pattern of response?
Well, it sometimes depends. So sometimes we are the first on scene, and other times first responders will get there first, especially in areas that are rural and remote. Quite often there'll be local people who they live closer to those kind of scenes, for instance, SES or rural fire, etc., and they would often respond on scene and get there before the paramedics would.
In the case of the Hunter Valley bus crash, I believe it was the SES that were first responders.
Yes, that would make sense. So what would happen is someone from the scene has probably rung 000 and they've gone through the directory to find out who's available and who's close by, and then maybe physically rung people that they know who live in the area that belong to, you know, this first responder role, and they've responded. And sometimes they just come across the accidents themselves.
Which, again, was the case with Hunter Valley. There was an off-duty SES person that came across the accident and swung into action. So I guess that's the question. When are people in this kind of profession, when are they actually off-duty?
They're not really. So we do have a duty of care, even if you're not technically on the job that day. So, for instance, you know, an SES worker or a volunteer first aider or a paramedic, we all have a sense of duty and to respond to a call or to a scene where there is an emergency, even if you're not physically in the uniform. You all have that duty of care to provide the best that you can at the time, even if you're not equipped.
With this kind of profession, I imagine that there is both a significant physical and mental requirement to undertake the role, right?
Oh, for sure. And look, I don't think anything can prepare you for what our fellow colleagues would have seen at the bus incident. And I don't think that any kind of training really kind of puts you in a perfect place to be able to deal with it. However, I do know that the people who responded, both of them had quite a fair bit of experience under their belt, and so that would have helped. You know, like I said, though, the training is great and the training does help, but I don't think you could ever be 100%.
Yeah, look, I mean, how much of it is physical, how much of it is mental in terms of dealing with that profession?
Both, I would say. Like, physically, you can only do what you can physically do, and some people have physical disabilities who do volunteer in a first responder role. So, you know, you can meet lots of people who've got disabilities, potentially hearing, seeing, physical, and they're still able to fulfil these roles quite capably. However, you know, there are mental challenges that, you know, even with years of experience, I don't think you could ever be fully able to prepare for. And in some sense, even, you know, when you look at symptoms like PTSD or PTSS, the longer that you've been in the role, the more chance there is sometimes of actually experiencing problems, because it's a repetitive exposure to things that can sometimes build over time, which is actually worse.
Yeah, look, you're involved in the training of paramedics, Sonia, and how do you prepare these people for these extremely demanding professions?
I think it helps to be exposed to incidences in a safe environment, so you can prepare as best as you can with unpredictable environments. I know that sounds like a bit of an oxymoron. How do you prepare for an unpredictable environment? But you can. You can actually train to have fundamental skills in being prepared and organised, and be a little bit of a thinker outside the box. And I think that those skills help. We call them critical thinking skills. And you can absolutely train people to have better critical thinking skills, so when emergency happens, then they're able to actually manage that. Even if it's not specifically about that, you can give them the skills to be able to think a bit outside the square.
The post-response impact, I mean, that must surely be part of something that you address in your training as well.
We do, and we, during our training at the university, for instance, paramedics are... we do spend a whole, block of time talking about incident training, like incident stress debriefing and developing of resilience. And those are skills that are really important for first responders and paramedics to be able to be a little bit more resilient when crisis happens. And there are lots of services that are provided to paramedics and first responders when, bad things happen. And so EAP and, counselling services are available in all of those organisations for their workers, specifically after these horrible events happen.
When you look at the way that these professionals act in such difficult circumstances, as a professional in this area, must be satisfied to be part of the process that creates these extraordinary individuals.
Yeah, I am actually. It's quite nice to know that many of our students that come through our system are first responders, but prior to or once they get into the course. So a lot of paramedics have been first responders or are currently first responders, and we're helping to train them and nurture them to do the best that they can. And also we do a lot of work with first responders as well, so joint training exercises. We even do research into first responder wellbeing. It's one of the big things that CSU does really well is actually wellness of community workers and first responders. There's actually a bit of research funding that goes into that, which is really quite cool. I'm pretty proud of the work that we're doing and the way that we're helping them out.
Well, Sonia, congratulations on the work that you do. And your profession is, well, I wouldn't say undervalued. I think that they are extremely valued and make an incredible contribution to the well-being of our community. So congratulations on being part of that process, and thank you for talking with us this afternoon.
No worries. Thank you.
That's Dr. Sonia Maria, who is a senior lecturer in paramedicine in the Charles Sturt School of Nursing, Paramedicine, Healthcare Sciences, giving us a bit of a background on how we prepare our first responders for such horrific scenes and circumstances that we've just experienced in the Hunter Valley. You're listening to Community Drive on 2MCE FM.